You are listening to. First Gen Teachers Lens. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of First Gen Teacher Lens. Kind of felt off about the last episode. Sorry if my voice was kind of shut. You know, stuff happens. But in this episode, I want to do another sound off. But this time, it's going to focus obviously on the Latinx issue that's been in the news as of late. It's going to deal with about colorism and the issues regards with that and my sentiment towards, you know, the conversations that are being had now within the confines of Latinx culture and colorism. So stay tuned. Peace.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Hey everyone, again, welcome back. This is another sound off, part of our sound off series. You know, I could continue this series because I think the other podcasters that suggested this was definitely right. 10 to 15 minutes, you know, about a particular issue is great for like people that are driving, want to know input that what's going on with specific issues or just what's on their mind for the day or any other day. So I've been thinking about this issue a lot recently, and the reason being it's, you know, it's been in the news, obviously, you know, with the success of Hamilton, kind of followed this film in the Heights. So Lin-Manuel Miranda has addressed it. You know, there's been issues within colorism within the film without, you know, Afro-Latinos or Latinas or Latinx people not being in the forefront of the film. And there's been some comments that are made that are pretty controversial in terms of like Rita Moreno said, you know, we should be thankful that we're getting spotlight, which, you know, any spotlight is great. But however, it's that comment is problematic within itself because you're marginalizing another marginalized group that's kind of like a double entendre where it's just like, hey, we have this group that is marginalized. Like, yes, we should give them credit where credit's due. You know, they have produced this great work. They show off their talents. They show off their culture. However, you know, you're being dismissive of another culture in the same vanity, right? So I had specific issues with that comment because, like, you know, as a white, I want to say passing Latinx person, like, I know there are certain things that I can do and maneuver as opposed to a colleague or somebody that I know who is Afro Latinx, right? And that in itself is a white privilege, right? Even though, yes, we are a part of this marginalized group, we can move around and negate that kind of grand scope of being marginalized because we are white passing. I'm not speaking for all white passing Latinos, but just from my perspective myself, I feel that, like, because I look lighter, obviously, I'm granted some sort of privilege, or I automatically have some sort of privilege over certain people in my culture, whether it be, you know, Afro-Latinos or even indigenous Latinos who have darker skin, darker pigmentation. So I don't know. I just found that her comment very convoluting because this isn't the marginal Olympics, like who has like more trauma or anything like that. Like, it's already hard being Latinx. Yes, understand that. But also, we gotta unpack how racist, like, Latinx culture can be. You know, it has the same roots in terms of, like, you know, Western racist ideology, where, you know, you got the Sambo dolls, you got, you know, poets like Nicholas Guillen, who's, like, writing about what it means to be mulatto, accepting of his, like, darker pigmentation, his thicker facial features, women having, you know, more kind of curvaceous features. So, but in terms of this specific movie, another comment that was, like, I want to say pretty controversial, was by an actress. Was watching it this past weekend, and she said, "I feel like everybody got the role, or was given the role that was right for them." And I was just like, what does that have to do with anything with colorism, right? The issue that is that, you know, yes, there may be some Afro-Latinx dancers in the background, actors, actresses, whatever. But that's the whole problem, right? They're in the background. They're not in the forefront. Now, I think if, like, the parts were equally spread out, like, I want to say, like, maybe 60-40 had Afro-Latinx, like, you know, lead roles, I don't think this would be a problem. And I think that's where the conversation started to had, where, yes, there may be representation, but why is that always in the background? Why can't you let those other or Afro-Latinos, right, not other, because they're part of us, excuse me, be at the forefront? And, you know, let them get their shine. Like, there's so many people that I'm thinking of right now that could have been participatory in terms of, like, just being at the forefront. Like, there's so many artists who are Afro-Latinx that could have, you know, maybe gave them an extension to those roles. I don't know. But what I do know is that that's where we begin being accountable, is saying we know we messed up. Obviously, the product's out now, so they can't change it. But in hindsight, you know, you gotta think about it. Like, how is this? Is what am I producing, promoting this idea within Latinx culture? If we're talking about especially things that involve dance, music, rhythmic ability, right? That's all it stems from, like, you know, has African roots. You think of bachata, merengue, they all have these kind of concrete stems to African culture, blackness, right? We have to acknowledge, as Latinx, within the Latinx culture, we are part of, if not, like, black culture, right? We have so many things that are absorbed and obtained through black culture, or for the reasons of black culture, because of black culture, right? Yes, there are other countries that have colonized, conquered Latin America, if you will, right? And then it's developed this whole kind of hosh-posh of people who speak linguistically different, have different backgrounds, right? Depending on, like, what regions you are in Latin America, you may be part of more an indigenous region, or you may be part of more like, in terms of, like, you know, what, how many mix of indigenous races are there? Or you may be part of, like, you know, this kind of more Afrocentric region, right? Where it's like, you know, you can see the deep roots of African within there. And then, you know, but at the same time, you know, again and again, we find the same issue of colorism existing on, with this time film. And, you know, I think an important thing for us is to study history as well. So we know and internalize that issue. And we're like, yes, this is a problem. How do we address it so it doesn't affect this product that is supposed to be a clear representation of our culture, right? And I think it starts from, you know, just researching. You know, I had a poem in grad school. It's called Parsley, by Rita Dove, and you know, it talked about the Parsley Massacre. What happened in the Parsley Massacre? Why did the Parsley Massacre happen? And more than often not, it's this idea of colorism, right? This idea of pigmentation, darker pigmentation, right? Black being inferior to lighter pigmentation. It's like what it's ultimately rooted in, right? So I just feel like what the conversations that in regards to In the Heights right now are, some are convoluted and create more problems rather than address the actual root of this issue, as opposed to, you know, I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is laying back and in internalizing it. But then, you know, how does that fix the problem? Do they do another In the Heights where they do like kind of a revamp version, and then they incorporate more of these characters within the film? I don't know. Maybe they could do like a live show again on Broadway when everything picks up, and you know, make a statement to committing their you know, fairness for Afro-Latinx actors, actresses, and, you know, being transparent on how they're gonna get that done. That's one thing that I think could ultimately not, you know, fix the film itself because it's already pulled out, but make amends to kind of rectify this is what we should have done from the get-go. But other than that, I just feel like the conversations and the kind of arguments are very lackluster in terms of like what weight do you have to say that, you know, at least we're getting, you know, spotlight, if you will, or recognition when we're doing the exact same thing that Hollywood would do to us or has constantly done to us, to a sector of people within our culture that has probably is the embodiment of our culture, which I was just completely stunned by that statement, because it just made it seem like we're competing once against another when it shouldn't be that way. It should be an equal playing field so that everybody gets a chance and everybody shines in terms of like their respective field. You know, representation is important, right? And it made me think of I forgot his name, the actor. Sorry guys, forget his name. But When They See Us, the actor that plays Kevin is Dominican. And like, what does that mean when a kid sees that on a film, right? It means empowerment, right? It means that the kid will feel like, wow, I can go onto that field. I see myself. I can strive to be who he is, right? Or who they are, right? Same thing, like I mentioned earlier, with Miles Morales, right? Afro-Latinx kid, right? New York City, right? The quote from the movie is that anybody can wear the mask, right? Which comes with great power and responsibility, right? You know, quoting Spider-Man. But that quote, anybody can wear the mask, right? That's empowerment. That means anybody that can, you know, do good, you know, be righteous, can be embodiment of Spider-Man. That's all that means, right? But it starts with that representation and pushing these figures to the forefront. Because if we put them on the back burner, nobody's going to see them. If they're the dancers, if they're background characters, right? They're like invisible. Might as well not have them in the film and completely just whitewash the entire film from the get-go. And the last note, it's kind of like this meme I saw where it was just like the top of like a person's head, and then they were pointing to it, Afro-Latinx representation, right? Because if representation is empowerment, if you hear somebody's voice and see them in the forefront of what they do, right? And that's where the initiative starts, and that's where the erasure of colorism, this issue with colorism within Latinx culture stops. My name is Mr. C. You can subscribe to my podcast on Apple. You can leave a comment, rating as well. And stay tuned for the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for having listened to the First Gen Teacher's Lens. We'll see you here next time.